Praise when you're tired in your body. Praise when things aren't exactly like you'd like to see them with your natural eye. Praise when things seem to be coming against you, but you know God's going to bring it all together before we get to the end. Praise because you got confidence in a God who holds it all in the palm of his hand. Praise because you know God's the weatherman and God gives life to every growing thing. Praise because you know your dreams are going to come to pass when you link them together with the dreams of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we're in the 103rd Psalm tonight, and we're going to spend a little time here. Praise God. Praise God. When you have a busy week like this, there's always some mention of, I wonder if we should cancel Wednesday night church. And I thought, you know, John Canoe was in the hospital last night. He showed up at church tonight. I mean, you know, the man wants to come to church. Let's open the door. And besides, you never know who's going to come and live for God. And you don't know what's going to happen in the midst of the prayer. And you don't know the power. So if there's just a handful of us together, you just don't know what God might do on a sleepy Wednesday night. Praise God. I just feel like every time we come together, it's a date with destiny. Well, praise God. I don't know if you feel like that's melodramatic or what, but I know every time we handle this thing, we handle the word of God or the name of Jesus or the power of the Holy Ghost. I think it's a date with destiny. Come together on a sleepy Wednesday night. You never know what's going to break loose in somebody's life. Somebody's heart. You don't know what's moving out into this city. We are the fulfillment of the vision of the prophet where he saw waters running down out of the temple and into the city. And as he watched the waters begin to grow, that was an Old Testament vision of a New Testament moving of God. And the Holy Ghost is flowing this evening out of the vessels of God. He is within you. Everybody say, he is in me, a well springing up into everlasting life. Shake your neighbor and tell him, I've got a well in me springing up. Well, where do you think all that water's going? It's bubbling up out of you. It's running through this place. It goes out into the city. It is the fulfillment of what the prophet saw. Tell your neighbor, I've got in me a river of living water. Praise God. I want you to know you can put a cork in it. You can stop it up. You can let the enemy fill it up with all kind of debris if you want to. But if we as a church collective body, if we will release that, we can fill this city with waters in the Holy Ghost. We can fill this place up with a revival flow that'll sweep people off their feet. Listen to me. He said it's ankle deep, then it's knee deep, then it's water to the thighs, and then it's waters to swim in. But finally, he said it was waters that could not be passed over. You know what that tells me? You can make it flood in this city with Holy Ghost and righteousness. So they've got to do something about it. They can't just get through it and say, well, that was something. They can't just swim through it and say, well, I got past that. But I believe we can cause the Holy Ghost to cloud up and rain in this place until there's waters they can't get over. They can't get through. They can't get around. They're going to have to do something with it. Oddly enough, I felt the boldness of that in this funeral service today. I felt something come on me, and I didn't know who the Holy Ghost was talking to. I felt Holy Ghost boldness come on me, and there was a spirit in this house that the Holy Ghost wanted to talk to, and he wanted to talk to him about the power of the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost and a church that was built on the name of the rock of Christ Jesus. Praise God. We are entering into another dimension of revival. This church is entering into another dimension of revival. You do with it what you want to do. Just come on for the ride. God's about to turn loose some things in this house and in this church family that we've never seen before. Are you ready? Are you ready for it? Brother Clark's been telling us. Brother Godwin's been telling us. He sends people from outside the city to come in and say, are you ready? God's about to pour it out. My God, I want him to have his way. I want to see this. I want to see this. I want to see people being baptized every night. I want to see people in the altar every night. On a Tuesday night, getting the Holy Ghost. On a Thursday night, getting the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me about it. I've already been there. That's the revival I was born into. Don't tell me you can't have 100 people get the Holy Ghost in one service. I've already been there. I've already seen it. So put that in your sleepy Wednesday night. Deal with it. Not going to come in this house and say, well, it's been a long week. We'll just have a little patty cake. And no, no, no. God's calling you. He's not going to let you sit on this Holy Ghost and not do something with it. He's not going to let you sit on this ministry that he's given you and fail to do something with it. He's not going to let you stand in this harvest field of this great city and watch it languish and be lost. He's going to touch you and stir you and move you and call you. And my God, if we won't do it, he'll raise up some alcoholic or some drunk addict or some pagan that's never known God. He'll get it done. God's gonna get it done. The prophecy's going forth in years past about this city. It's already been spoken. Now he's just looking for somebody to carry the mail. How about it? Is there anybody in the house that plans on being there? I'm gonna carry the mail. I'm gonna carry this revival. I'm gonna be a part of this. Well, praise God. All right, we'll return to our normal broadcasting here. Praise God. Psalms 103. Everybody say, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me. Bless his holy name. David's doing self-talk again. God bless you. You can be seated. Poor brother Clark. Poor brother Godwin. You're driving them nuts. They don't know. You scared Brother Dylan last year. And Brother Arnold just finally gave up and said, you're not going to be seated, are you? We're not being defiant or rebellious. We're just hungry for the Word of God. It's like, tell me more. I want to get closer to it. I want to feel. Praise God. Praise God. And if you get plenty just sitting back and all, great, get it. There's great diversity in the body. Praise God. David's doing a little self-talk. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to his soul. And he's saying, you need to bless God. I know there's trouble on every hand, but you need to bless God. Wake up in there. We've got a journey, and we've got a calling, and we've got a cause. And if you go to sleep, we'll be lost. We'll lose God, and we'll lose the benefits of the kingdom of God. Wake up in there. Bless the Lord. Open your mouth. I know you're tired, but open your mouth. I know you've been disappointed, but open your mouth. I know your friend betrayed you, but open your mouth. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within. It's the exercise of will in the pursuit of God. It's the exercise of will in the pursuit of the goodness of the kingdom of God. You won't get it any other way. You've got to exercise choice and will. And here David is talking to himself. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh mi alma. Praise God, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Praise God. Get up in there and praise God. No days off. Praise God. No time for downtime. Praise God. No just on Sunday or Wednesday, but praise God. In the morning when your foot hits the deck, oh, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. When the news in the mailbox is good and the news in the mailbox is bad, listen, we're going to get through this. God's going to get us through it. Come on, let's bless the Lord. When there's trouble and sickness, sickness in the house and in the family. And when life is uphill, and it seems like it'll always be uphill, when you see the sunrise in the morning, know this, the promise of God rises with that sun. The anointing of God comes forth one more time, and God never fails. Come on, clap your hands and lift your voice. Magnify God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Anybody think God's great? Anybody think God's a great God? Anybody glad about the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the name of Jesus and the blood that cleanses every sin? Anybody excited about it tonight? Praise God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. I don't want anything in me that can't voice, praise, bless the name of my God. If it's contrary to blessing God, it's got to go. If it's not happy with praise and blessing, it's got to go. We were cranking up a little bit in this funeral service today, and there were people getting antsy and nervous. There were folks that didn't know what to do about it. They weren't quite acclimated to that kind of stuff. I don't want any of that in me, though. I'm ready to have church anytime, any day, anywhere. Come on. I'm ready for a move of God. Praise God. And all that is within me. I don't want anything in me that's not like God. Well, praise God. Two, bless the Lord, O my soul. Everybody say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Isn't it wild that Israel walked under the cloud and under the fire and had bread every morning and water from a rock? They saw the Egyptians dead, and they had lived through a season where God hammered Egypt with plague after plague. So much so that 40 years later, when Joshua and Caleb brought them into the land of promise, that Rahab, the harlot in Jericho, said, "We know who you are. You're the people of the God that kicked Pharaoh." It had been 40 years, and they were still talking about it in Canaan. But the Jews, the beneficiaries of it, the recipients of it, the apple of God's eye, they forgot the goodness of God, and they were covered up with miracles. See, don't seek the miracles. Seek the one from whom the miracles come. Praise God. Don't seek the miracles. The miracles will not inspire you to live for God. Because you can walk through a wilderness journey and lose your soul with miracles all around. Matter of fact, we have miracles all around us right now. People getting the Holy Ghost right now. God building a work in this city right now. Miracles all around you in the natural and in the spirit right now. Praise God. The scripture admonishes us, forget not all his benefits. Because you can get surly in your own natural mind, because your natural mind is never converted. Your natural mind is never converted. It will always argue against faith and always argue against the word of God and always speak against the miracle and the calling of God and the commission of God in your life. Your natural mind will always list the reasons why you ought not and why it shouldn't be and why it may not be as wonderful as the word of God says. And your natural mind will always argue. And the scripture says, don't forget the benefits of God. Praise God. Does anybody in this house have any benefits from living for God? I mean, can you just think about some things that God has done in your... Can you look back over your shoulder right now and say, if it hadn't been for God, I don't know where I would be. Is there anybody can look at your old peer group and your own life and you can say, my, he's been good to me. I've seen him come and I've seen him go, and I thank God that somehow he's kept me even when I couldn't see him there. Anybody have benefits in your life? Praise God. Just for a moment or two, I want you to just enumerate and thank God for the blessings of God in your life. Just walk right down the list. Name the things that he's done for you. He's been places with you you wouldn't even talk to anybody else about, but you know it was the hand of God, and God kept you, and God was with you. Thank you, God, for being my provider. Thank you, God, for being my healer. Lord God, you came to me in a time of darkness, and I couldn't find my way, and you led me out. Lord God, it was years I didn't see that it was a hand of God, but now I know there's benefits to living for God. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Somebody shout praise the Lord. Do you have benefits in your life? You better talk to your soul. David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Don't you dare forget the benefits of God. You forget his benefits, you'll start looking at this world, and this world will start looking good to you. But as long as you've got it in your mind how good God is, the world just cannot compare. That's not just a song. That's not just a sermon. That's a fact tonight. This world cannot compare. Now, I could go through all of the litany of the good things of God tonight, but just in a moment, in a 24-hour period where we had a memorial service for a dear little saint of God, let me tell you that down at the end of the whole affair, there is nothing that's going to be as valuable to you as a covenant relationship with God. When the doctor walks in and says there's no hope, when your body betrays you and begins to close down, when life reaches out and crushes you, you gotta know this. God has benefits that the world doesn't know anything about. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Who's going to take me to heaven if it's not God? Who's going to get me up out of that grave if it's not God? Who's going to change my natural body into an immortal body like his glorious body? Nobody. Who's paid the price for my sins? Who kicked the door off of death? Who broke down the gateways of hell? There's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. This is a great company. Forget the salary, the benefits, or what we're here for. Praise God. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's an amazing and an outrageous statement. How many of you have done some things you're worthy to go to hell over? There are some people that actually think that they're pretty good. They don't really need God. But I could see that clearly. I know where I came from, and I know who I am, and I know how far away from God I am in myself and without the grace of God. He said he forgives all my iniquities. Now, some of the most powerful passages and one-liners out of the Word of God are in this psalm, down in verse 11 and 12. Would you say, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. In the middle of my trouble, in the middle of my failings, I look up and I can't even see how high the heaven is above the earth. Well, that's how high his mercies are toward you. He's looking for somebody to be merciful for. Verse 12, would you say, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, somebody here tonight, you're still dealing with sin from long, long ago. And I'm telling you, there's an ultimatum in the Holy Ghost tonight. You've got to get over that. You've got to get over that. That's a lie of the devil that's come back to beat you down. God's already forgiven you. God's already walked away from it. And the devil's come up beside you, and he's wanting to talk to you about it again. But you need to say, devil, if you can measure the distance from the east to the west, that's how far he's removed my sins. It's over with. Somebody ought to shout. It's over with. Somebody ought to shout. It's done. It's buried. It's under the blood. And he said, in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Ezekiel 18 said, when you repent, God said, and all of his sins shall not be mentioned. God said, I'm not going to mention them. If you're hearing it, it's out of hell. If it's a failure from the past and you're hearing it, it's out of hell. You need to get Holy Ghost boldness about you tonight. It's like some bully down the street coming along picking on you. And God's already beat him up. And God's already taken away his power. But he's coming and trying to, you need to bow up at me, boy. Come on, bow up at me and tell me I can handle you. My daddy's already won the victory.
My daddy's
hey, somebody ought to say that in this house tonight. I can handle you. My daddy already won the victory. That sin. Say, devil, you're so stupid. That's already under the blood. Find some new news. That's old news. That's already past. I can't even see it from where I'm standing. As far as the east is from the west, I can't even see it from where I'm standing. You better get over that. It'll be a ball and chain on your victory. You better get over that. Forget not all his benefits. David starts with the matter of sin. Because he knows you're going to struggle with those old things. When you start getting carnal, you're going to struggle with those old things. And when you start winning victories, the devil's going to bring up those old things. But you just need to get an attitude about you. You need to get a Holy Ghost attitude that says, devil, God's already buried that. Let me tell you, I remember it's a line out of a song, but I don't mind plagiarizing it tonight. Whenever he starts telling you about your past, you start telling him about his future. You start telling, well, let's do talk, devil. Let's talk about an angel coming down with a chain in his hand, and he's going to grab your ornery hide, and he's going to throw you down into a pit and lock you up for 1,000 years and shut you up. You want to talk to me about my past? Let's talk to you about your future. He's going to let you out for a little while, and then he's going to cast you into a flaming fiery pit, and you're never going to get out. Let's talk to you about your future, devil. You need to get some Holy Ghost boldness about you. Forget not all his benefits. Praise God. Come on, shake somebody and say, God's forgiven my sins. They're under the blood. Hell can't bring them out again. The only person in this circle of activity that has the power to revisit those sins is you. And if you do, you're like a dog turning back to its vomit. How gross is that? I mean, we could pursue that and get kind of gross on it tonight. Make all kind of old smacking noises. Some of you would be puking and running right now if we got into that. You can't think of anything more detestable than that. And that's what Jesus said. That's what the Word of God says about you going back and handling those old sins. And it's not just going back and doing them, backsliding, going back and handling them. Praise God. Praise God. Forget not his benefits. You're going to have to talk to somebody else, devil. I got benefits. One of them, my sins are gone. Now, if I sin tomorrow, you come on back, but you better be quick, because as soon as I sin, I'm going to get it under the blood. And you got no leverage. You got nothing to say, no place to stand. Praise God. Forget not all his benefits. He forgives all. Everybody say all. All thine iniquities. All thine iniquities. See, you think there's some little sins and big sins, but sin is sin. And he says, he forgives all thine iniquities. Yeah, but you don't know what I do. Well, you're a special case. You're different than all the 6,000 years of humanity that came before you. And God can save everybody, but he can't save you. You're the only person that Calvary was deficient for. You're an idiot. That's what you are. Devil's making a fool out of you. And really, down in your heart, that's what you're doing is you're trying to fashion some reason not to live for God with all your heart. That's the wickedness. It is a wicked thing for you to be down in the cesspool of your failure and not get up and live for God. It's a wicked thing. Somebody say it's a wicked thing. How can you say that? I'm feeling all insecure and bad about myself, and I'm feeling bad about what I did before. Why aren't you sympathetic with me? Because it's wickedness. You got to get up from there. You're denying the power of God. Praise God. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, when you start digging up your old sin, you're bad. That's right. Forget not all his benefits. Come on, tell somebody, forget not all his benefits. Praise. Anybody feel free right now because the blood has covered every sin? Praise God. Anybody glad that he's a God of second chances? Anybody glad that his mercies are as high as the heavens are above the earth? Praise God. Forget not all his benefit. I've seen people lose out with God because of old news. The devil brought an old newspaper up and let them read the headline. And they thought, oh, this is so bad. I feel so awful. I'm just revisiting. You need to shut him up. Praise God. Don't forget his benefits. Who healeth all thy diseases. Praise God. Well, that's an interesting thought. The Bible said he healeth all my diseases. But we just buried a lady today that died of a disease. That's kind of a biblical conundrum. Answer me that, theologian Sally. She said, my name's not Sally. Answer me that. Well, you know, it's interesting. I had a gentleman question me about this very topic back in the back of this church last night. He said, what about the prayer of faith? And I said, prayer of faith is great. Prayer of faith is powerful. Prayer of faith is real and biblical. But God is God, and God is sovereign, and God can say yes, and God can say wait, and God can say and has been known to say no. Praise God. God can say no. You can fast, and God can say no. You can travail, and God can say no. You can say, but I've got a covenant, and God can say, pipe down, no. You ever say it's time to go, and these kids are saying, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, I don't want to. You just drag them along with you. Do you ever sit down at the table, and they say, I don't want to eat that, I don't want to eat it. You say, eat it. There's a lot of things your kids, and you got a covenant relationship with these kids. You're just like God and his children. There's a lot of things they don't want, but you make them anyway. There's a lot of things they aren't ready for, but you make them anyway. There's a lot of times they're not ready to go, but you say it's time to go. Acts chapter 12. Herod put James in jail. James, the brother of Jesus, James, the head of the church in Jerusalem. And he cut his head off. And he saw that it pleased the Jews, so he went looking for another one. He got Peter. And put Peter between 16 soldiers and chained him up. And in the middle of the night, an angel came. Wake up, Peter! And Peter gets up, and he thinks he's dreaming. And the chains fall off. And the soldiers are just standing there. And he walks right out. And he's through the jail cell door and out the door of the prison. And it's not till he gets to the great iron gate or iron door in the city that he realizes, this is for real. I'm out. This is good. So he goes straight to where the church is. The same church that had been praying for James. God, don't let him kill James. God, spare James. God, we love James. In the name of Jesus, they shall not kill James. But they killed him. And I could go through every kind of prayer you ever prayed. And in your heart of hearts, you're just trying them out. In the Holy Ghost, we push buttons and pull chains and open valves. And we do all kinds of things that we don't understand. And I'm not discouraging you. Do it. Because you never know when something's going to uncork. And sometimes we have a word from God. One of those salient, miraculous moments where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And the word of prophecy goes forth. But a church in desperation is just a bunch of people with faith in God. And they're knocking on God's door. And that's a good thing. But James got his head cut off. And Peter goes to the door where the prayer meeting is for Peter now. And they're in there praying now for Peter. Just like they prayed for James. And you know what's going on in their minds because it's gone on in your mind before. Oh, God, save Peter. We prayed the same prayer about James. God, let him out of there. He didn't let James out. You know, that natural mind never shuts up. And in that place, it's got some traction when you've had a setback. Got some traction. So Rhoda comes to the door. Rhoda comes to the door, and there's a knocking, and she opens it up, and it's Peter. And she's so flummoxed, she closes the door in his face. She goes back and starts telling the prayer warriors, the men of faith, and they say, can't be Peter, must be his angel. They go to the door and they let him in. And I mean, they're freaked out and they don't know what to think. And it's a long season of time there before they get the understanding. This is actually Peter in living color. And he's been let out. And prayer worked. Now, you know, after that event, they talked a lot about, remember when we prayed for Peter? God broke him out of there. You see, we don't open up a Sunday night service and say, and they prayed for James, and God let him get his head cut off. But it was just as much the will of God and the choice of God and the anointing. Come on now. And God was just as much God. I got to ask you the question, what about James? I've preached this to you before, but you got to get on board with this if you're going to walk with God and have victory for the long haul. If you're going to run this race with patience and be a winner at the end, you got to get on board with the idea that God is sovereign. He healeth all thine infirmities. And there's a biblical typology for this and perfectly framed for us. The three Hebrew children said, our God will deliver us. They said, one way or the other. They walked into the fire and they told the king, God's going to deliver us out of your hand. He's either going to kill you and sink Babylon, or he's going to put this fire out. Either way, we're out of your hand. And what they meant was, he's either going to do a miracle or we're going to go up in vapor. But that was the right, that was the perfect theological position. I do what I know to do, and God is sovereign. Now, when it says, forget not all his benefits, he healeth all thy diseases. You need to know this, that he took stripes in his body, and he does heal. He's a healer. Anybody here ever been healed? Anybody here ever had somebody healed under your hand while you prayed, and it freaked you out when it happened? Praise God. He's a healer. But it doesn't happen every time. Well, who decides? God does. God does. There's a time to plant. There's a time to reap. There's a time to weep. There's a time to rejoice. There's a time to scatter stones, and there's a time to gather stones together. There's a time to live. And there's a time to die. There's a time to gather your feet into your bed and go to sleep with Jesus. Praise God. He heals all your infirmities. You know where Sister Rose, sorry about that. That was not a prophetic slip. There was no prophecy in that at all, Sister Rose. It's funny how your mind works. While I'm talking about Sister Jewel, I'm thinking about Sister Rose came in two mornings and fixed Sister Jewel's hair for her in this funeral service. And that was just going through the back road there. It came out on the front. But you know where Sister Jewel is right now? That little broken body. So bruised up from all those needles and everything, is in a box under the ground out there on a hillside across from Jim and Nick's. You know where she is right now? She's at whatever God has chosen for perfect stature and perfect health and perfect age. She is in perfection. She is no longer in pain. Her eye is no longer dim. She sees with greater clarity than she has seen all of her natural days. I'm telling you that God has healed all of her infirmities. Now, see, you're not as excited about this as had we walked in with her tonight and said, God raised her up out of a hospital bed. And you can jive over that because it's in the natural and you relate more to the natural than you do to the spiritual. And you get more excited about the natural than you do the spiritual. But you ought to shout as hard when you know they've walked into the presence of God. Tell me this. Would you rather come back as a 77-year-old with the burden of those years on your shoulder? Or would you rather step into the presence of an eternal God and see like you are seen and understand as you are understood? Praise God. Got to get on board with this. Forget not all his benefits. He heals all your infirmities. Praise God. The devil's going to come along just like he rags you about your sin past. He's going to come and rag you about, oh yeah, if he heals you, why are you feeling all that pain? If he heals you, why are you going down to the graveyard? If he heals you, why we got Jimmy Green sitting over here in the middle of this vibrant worship? And he's a paradox to everything we're doing. He's sitting over here in that chair, and he's crippled when we start the service, and he's crippled when we end the service, and the devil says, aha! What are you shouting about? Of course, he's not having a whole lot of effect on you. You keep. But he does get in the back of your mind sometimes. And he says, if this is the truth of God, just like he told Jesus, if you are the Son of God, he says, if this is the power of God, why can't you walk over there and lay your hand on him? Because God is sovereign. God makes the. What do you do, Brother Son? I pray for people that are sick, but I'm not a healer. God's a healer. I do what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, Matt Carpenter taught me that in 1976, and it has helped me immeasurably. Missionary, great missionary to South Africa, and he has had so many wonderful miracles in his life, and he tells about those miracles. We were sitting at a missions conference in St. Louis, and he told about miracle after miracle after miracle that happened, and then he turned that thing upside down, and he told about a bunch that didn't happen. Where he would pray and nothing would happen. And then he brought out this wonderful jewel for us all. And he said, we do the work. We pray the prayer. But God is the miracle worker. And when we walk in knowing I'm doing what God told me to do. I'm laying hands on the sick. I'm praying the prayer. I'm anointing with oil. I'm doing what God told me to do. And if I bury 20 in a row, I'm gonna pray for number 21. Of course, 21's not going to be real crazy about me being there praying for him. Praise God, because it's my job to pray. Listen to me. If it happens, if you are one of those not new converts anymore, but radical fanatics with still a penchant for new convertitis, and you actually believe it happens every time, would you please get up and leave right now and go empty all the hospitals? I'll wait for you. You're not going? No. Because you know it doesn't happen every time. That's why they called them miracles. If it happened every time, it wouldn't be a miracle. It'd be an ordinary occurrence. And it wouldn't be anybody sick in the whole city. We live in a world full of sin, and the consequences of sin is a body that's wearing out. And you're not going to stay here, and you're not going to stay healthy. And if you live long enough, you're going to die. Praise God. Oh, stand up and come down to the altar. I'm digging graves here tonight. My God. Come down to the altar. As you come and shove somebody and say, don't forget his benefits. He heals all your infirmities. He forgives all your iniquities. Praise God. Do you believe that tonight? Are you happy about it? Isn't it good to be a part of the church of the living God? Now, come on, be truthful with me. How many of you have caused you to worry more than I've caused you to be inspired? Now, every time you go to pray for somebody, you're going to think, what about James? That was designed to give you a place of perspective so that you can see and understand, so the enemy can't get leverage with you. Because there's always going to be a prayer meeting for a James. And there's always going to be a prayer meeting for a Peter. Because it's not in your hand. God is the one that makes the decisions. Guess what? There is a God, and you're not him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lay your hand on somebody tonight and just begin to pray the blessing and the strength on your brother, your sister, and the Lord. Praise God. We magnify you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the blood, for the spirit, for the word that has ushered Sister Jewel into your presence. We thank you, Lord God, that now, even now, she's rejoicing and she's fellowshipping with her friends, oh God, and in the presence of God. We praise you, Lord, for the promise. Lord, mighty God, we won't forget all of your benefits. We thank you, Lord, for taking stripes in your body for our healing. We thank you, mighty God, for the resurrection power and the power of your redemption. We give you praise for it, and we bless your name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Praise God. Come on now. Is there anybody here? God's been good to you. Your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. Praise God. Anybody enjoying living for God? Anybody believe in God for great revival? Praise God. Praise God. Well, God bless you. So good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. And God's going to use you. He really is. Again, let me commend the church for your wonderful service to Sister Jewel's family and all of the wonderful things you've been doing the last few days here. You're such a wonderful group to work with. Your ministry is excellent in so many ways. The young people have a meeting tonight in the prayer room. And we'll see you Friday night. There's a full calendar of activities. The young people are going on a trip. But other than that, everything else is up and running. God bless you. Bible study. Oh, yeah, you're leaving.